About a third of the way through the 1942 classic film Casablanca, Anina, the Bulgarian refugee, comes into the bar with a question. She is seeking passage for her and her young husband, Jan, to get out of Morocco and to the United States. And she has been promised by Renault a travel visa. She's contemplating doing the unspeakable, and meanwhile, Jan is at the roulette table gambling their fortune to secure this passage. She sits down at Rick's table and says, "Monsieur Rick, tell me of Captain Renault. What is he like?" To which Humphrey Bogart responds, and I'm getting enough nodded heads that I'm kind of expecting someone to shout it out. "Renault, he's just like any other man, only more so." This playful nod answer is kind of what we have come to expect from Rick and from Bogart's characterization of the bar owner. But for those of us watching, as it must have been for Anina, it is a veritable non-answer. It's not helpful in understanding the increasingly complex character of Renault. And in fact, perhaps says more about Rick than it does about anything else. Now, I bring this up this evening in part because I had some folks after the morning sermon where I talked a lot about Nathaniel Hawthorne saying, "Wow, that was really getting deep into our English background, so why don't we do something a little bit more contemporary next?" And so here we are, 1942. I brought it forward 100 years. But also because this is a little bit how I feel when we get to the end of tonight's gospel reading, and Jesus makes his statement that is designed to sum up all of his shepherd comments for the previous 9 verses. He said, "The one that has come before has come to steal and kill." That's the thief. "But I have come that they might have life and might have it abundant." That's not exactly what I expected Jesus to say at that time. We have, by this point in the gospel according to St. John, begun to hear of Jesus' conversations about eternal life, about everlasting life, about a life that is defined by a relationship with God. And here he offers something just a little different. Different enough that it should catch our attention. I went diving, as one does, a little bit into my Greek lexicon to find out, well, what did Jesus really say? And we have translated "more abundantly." What does Jesus mean? Certainly, he means that "I have come to bring life and that they might have a better life." One might understand that as being abundantly, or have a longer life. Maybe that's what he meant by abundantly. But no. Jesus says that he's come to bring life. A life like any other life. Just more so. A veritable non-answer for those who might be wondering about what the character of this new life with God is. Jesus, tell us about this new life. Well, it's just like every other life, only more so. Now, this is not completely odd for St. John. And maybe you all, as devotees of the well and this Celtic theology and this Celtic aesthetic that we have worked to design here, maybe it doesn't rub you the wrong way like it does me. When I think of visions of eternal life, of everlasting life, of life lived out in deep relationship with God, the image that comes to my mind is a little bit more like what Jeremy read from the Acts of the Apostles. image that belongs to Luke in the synoptic tradition that says when those of the way gathered in those days and months and years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, they gathered together in an almost utopian bliss. They sold everything they have and they shared. They gave to each according to their need, and among them there wasn't want. These folks so transformed their lives in the living out of Jesus' teaching that it was almost like perfect bliss. And I don't know about you all, but that's nothing like my life now. And I live among good people. I live fairly comfortably. I can't get my children to share what they have. You ought to see them line up for chicken at Mayfair. Some of you did, right? Into that, Jesus offers this question, or this answer to those gathered around him. What is eternal life like? Is it going to be like this bliss? No, it's going to be like this life, just more so. And that rings true to some of what we know about John and his teaching and some of what we gather to celebrate here. Jesus, in fact, loves this life the way that we have it. Maybe not all of it. There's certainly enough pain and destruction in this life that he wants to do something about. But the whole point of John's Gospel on one reading is that God loved this life and this creation so much that he came into it. To redeem it, to add divinity to this mortality that we surround ourselves with. Fancy theological words for that talk about realized eschatology, that great day of the Lord that so many generations of people have been waiting for exists now, or is at least accessible to us now. This is, I think, why Jesus uses all these shepherding metaphors. It's not that he's trying to dumb his teaching down to the level of the people he's talking to. He's just talking to them about life. What's life with God like? It's like life, only more so. Which takes us back to the scene in Casablanca. Nina, perhaps as frustrated as me, or more so, pleads to Rick, but is he trustworthy? And maybe that's at the core of our question too. Those who have come out to experience Jesus' teachings, who have suspended even for a moment the mundaneness of their regular life to come out and hear what Jesus is teaching about God in this way of everlasting life, the core of their anxiety is about trustworthiness. Jesus, you have said this God has come to live among us, but is he trustworthy? In John's Gospel, as it unfolds, will show the ultimate trustworthiness of Jesus. The ultimate way in which he proves to us that he is not Renault and he is not even Monsieur Rick. He is the one who is worthy of our trust, who is worthy of our faith. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that found him trustworthy would not perish but have an everlasting life. Amen.